It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. It is April the 10th. It is Monday. May God bless you today, keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace. She may be muted.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to be able to lift our petition before you. We ask for your spirit to come and abide with us in a special way as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Help us, Lord, to be able to grow in grace as we hear your word. Give us fresh manna from heaven. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, brothers and sisters, is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
glad that you're with us again, my brothers and sisters, and it's time to talk about the gospel in James chapter 1. The gospel in James chapter 1. Let's read it together as we pray. Father, be with us in this morning as we study the gospel in James 1, in Jesus' name. It begins, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. Now, brothers and sisters, what we must understand is when you are called of God, and all of us have some calling, we must remember that we are servants. You see, some people, when they think that they are called, they believe that that entitles them to live above the people, that entitles them to be worshipped somewhat, that entitles them to have people come to them and just follow whatever they say. And they think they're Moses as leaders. And God showed us in the New Testament that all the apostles often met together to discuss issues and resolve conflicts. There was organization. It was not a kingly power. So, you know, I'm just telling you that's how it is supposed to be, and that's who God will truly bless when we do it that way. It says, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God is sometimes listed as the Father, and sometimes God is just referred to as any member of the Godhead, okay? To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us that when we are connected to the vine, we are spiritual Israel. It's in Romans, I believe chapter 11, where it talks about a tree and there were broken branches. That was the literal 12 tribes, the Jewish people, because of the leadership. But it says that the Gentiles were grafted in, but then they, the Jews, could be grafted in again. They can be saved, but God is not looking at them, that nation, as the chosen people. That's somewhat of a smokescreen. A lot of people think that something great is going to happen in Jerusalem or in that region. It's not, friends. It's all talking about spiritual Israel now. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means different types of temptations. So when you feel that the devil is just coming at you and you're just being tempted in a strong way, you should be thankful. There's a reason for it. Satan is trying to keep you. He knows God's going to do something great for you. And he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is working in your life to build the character needed for the kingdom, my friend. But let patience have her perfect work. That means you've got to endure. But she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says you can have wisdom. Now, you remember how in the Bible Solomon was told that he would be very wise and that no one after would equal that? I don't believe that that refers to the fact that he's trying to say we can't have the kind of wisdom Solomon had. I believe God was saying in his position as a king, there would be no king that would come thereafter with that kind of wisdom. My brothers, we can have wisdom. God is not a respecter of persons. We can have great wisdom. I believe we can have greater wisdom than Solomon. But it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Friends, we need to stay in the word. We need to be keeping the promises ever before us. And, you know, we like to listen to music and different things. Maybe we should, in these same programs, we have it on our phone and our tablets and all that, you can listen to the Bible. I have it right here. I have Takata Bible, and you can actually listen to the Bible. There are audio books within the spirit of prophecy. There's spiritual food for our souls, friends. And if we spend time, it builds faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's talking about the one who doesn't have faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means if we profess Christ, but we don't have faith, in Christ we are double-minded. But let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but let the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Friends, let me tell you something. You learn in the story of Joseph that God wants a people who will trust him even though there be great changes of fortune. You can have very little, and then all of a sudden, you'd be surprised what God can do and what he might call you to. Ask Esther when she gets to heaven, a poor little probably maid, and then she became the queen of the world because at that time, Medo-Persia ruled the world. And ask Joseph, who went from a despised brother but yet favored of the father to slave in Egypt, to life in prison, and then to prime minister of the kingdom. You follow what I'm saying? Great changes of fortune, friends. So we need to understand, God says, but let the rich rejoice in that, meaning. He says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. In other words, you are exalted in the mind of God. He will take care of you, and he might even change your fortune. But let the rich in that he is made low. You know, sometimes God can't give some of us a lot of resources because we would turn away from him. We wouldn't trust him. We would be wondering, looking over our shoulder all the time and not trying to be liberal and giving. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but is withered, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So my brothers and sisters, we've got to endure temptation. And when we are tried, we'll receive the crown of life. And we are to, that means that we have no excuse for sin, because it says we're blessed when we endure temptation. And notice that it teaches that temptation is just a test. You know, T. Marshall Kelly, who recently passed away, you know, he sang that song. It's just a test. It's just a mountain. And there's nothing too hard for God to do, okay? It's just a test. Temptation is just a test. So when you are sorely tempted, I don't care what the temptation is, just understand it is a test, and God wants you to pass the test so you can grow, because he said you'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God does not bring the evil. He allows it, but he does not bring the evil. He allows the temptation, because through it you can grow, but he doesn't bring it. He can't be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. Therefore, when Jesus came on the earth, it was his humanity that was tempted. His divinity could not stand in there and keep him from being tempted. Jesus had to suppress that divinity and only rely on the Holy Spirit, which is who we have available to us. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So friends, God has given us the science of temptation. We have some natural inclinations, lust, desires, and we're drawn away by those, and the enticement comes. That is temptation. Okay? So if we can ask God to take what's in us out of us, then the temptations will become less and less and less and less, and the strength of God will become more and more powerful if we gain the victory over what's already in us. You see, some people can't be tempted with certain things. They just don't, you know, some things don't. Like some people say, I have no desire to be a homosexual. That just, it's nasty to them, okay? Others might say, I don't care about money. Money can just, you know, but some people are very strangely tempted with money. Not really strangely, we understand. You see? So your temptation may not be mine. Mine may not be yours, brothers and sisters, but God is telling us that there's something within us. We need to ask God to clean us out from the core. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So brothers and sisters, it's not until the decision is made to do the act, to say the word, to actually process the thought. So the devil can implant the thought on your mind. That's called a temptation. But when you, yeah, you start dwelling on it, that's when it becomes sin, okay? But so there's a difference between temptation and sin. Just because you have an urge to do something, sometimes we just give up. Oh, I've already sinned because I got the urge to do it. No, don't give up. Temptation is not sin. Every man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. But when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, when the devil is finished with you, what happens? Bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's a very simple situation. We need to understand the signs of temptation. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Friends, everything that is good that you have, everything that is good that you do, every gift that God has given, all your talents, they come from him. Therefore, you have a responsibility to return that talent to him. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We need to control our passion. We need to control our anger. A passion can be a lustful passion, but passion can be an anger passion. Friends, we live in a crazy world. You need to be wise, because people are just going crazy today. Just screaming at people, screaming at the airport. And, you don't need to put a lot of self in that. They may scream at you. You better stay humble and you should stay prayerful, because the devil is trying to help us to forget, cause us to forget. A soft answer turneth away wrath, you see. A grievous word stir up anger. Somebody might lose their life. Somebody might be injured severely as a result of just not being Christ-like. And I'm not trying to say we should be afraid. I'm just simply saying that, we as God's people, we need to know when to be quiet, know when to speak, but we should not be the ones involved in road rage and yelling and screaming and cursing at people on the road. And somebody may not do something right. We get mad. We yell at them in the store and all this kind of stuff. All right. Of his own will begat he us with the word that we should be a kind of first fruits. Wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We're in verse 21 now. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Friends, God's word is what we need. It's the word. Not the preacher, the word. Now, the preacher is supposed to be sharing the word, but you want the word. Therefore, when the preacher steps away from sharing the word, you need to step away from the preacher, friend. I don't mean despise him. Maybe pray for him. Give him some prayer. Talk to him. Hey, I'd like to have us maybe stay in the word more, whatever. But the point is, you can't follow all that is being taught if it's not from the word. For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Friends, did you know that the law is a law of liberty? That means that when you sin, you're in bondage. That's what the Bible says. Galatians 5. Let me just go there real quickly to Galatians chapter 5. It lets us know that sin is bondage. Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be ye not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Friends, when you are in sin, you are in bondage. When we are obedient to the Ten Commandments, we are free. It is not bondage to keep the Sabbath. It's freedom to keep the Sabbath. I get a special date with God. How is that bondage? A date that he has set aside for me to spend 24 hours with him, to the God of heaven, who he sets aside time for us to spend time together. How is that bondage? Explain that to me. It's not bondage, friends. You've been lied to. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Friends, we've got to do what we hear. We can't just hear it. If you have heard truth today, you need to do it. If you have not been keeping the Sabbath, but you know it's right. You can't argue it. You need to keep it, because if you don't, this is what the Bible says. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth him and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. See, friends, God gets to the heart. You got people that are preaching, teaching, giving marriage counseling, whatever, and they can't control their tongue. God says their religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. We'll learn a little later in the chat, in the book, that the law of liberty is the Ten Commandments, my friend. But we will talk about that at a later time. May God bless you and keep you. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for the Gospel of James chapter 1. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us at this time. And as we take a break before we hear a wonderful, wonderful testimony entitled, And Then There Was the Stroke by Sister Lenny, we ask that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now to transition to our wellness segment of the broadcast. And after that, we'll hear a testimony from Sister Lenny, a beautiful testimony. And then there was the stroke. All right, the torso song is next.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso. your health is so-so. You might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Corso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
We will now hear from Sister Lenny, a personal testimony entitled, And Then It Was the Stroke.
Good morning. Happy Monday. If you can remember the last time I talked with you, I had been anointed pertaining to the cancer. I knew that I was anointed. I knew that I was healed that night. And after that, I had a stroke right that same night. So my friend and her husband and one of my sisters was there, and the bubbling just didn't stop, but they didn't hear a thing. But when I could hardly get up, they didn't know what was happening with me. I said to them, I want to go home, but the words wasn't coming out properly. They're looking at me funny. And they said, you want to go to the hospital? And I could only get out, no, home, okay? So they got me in their car, got me to my house. Her husband was parking the car, and my friend was, she went in my pocketbook and got my keys out of my purse and got me in the house. By now, I'm losing feeling in my feet, hands, legs, and she kind of lifted me to her side and brought me up the stairs. But it seemed like we got upstairs real fast, and I couldn't understand that because of how I was. I could hardly walk. She got me up the stairs, and it was about a year when I remembered that when she brought me up the stairs, we got up there so fast, but I realized my feet never touched the floor. My feet never touched the steps. And she never knew that. I think she thought that she got me up them stairs by herself. But God was with us, okay? When my doctor came, first, I remember her husband coming in the house, and he said, where is Lenny? And she said, she's up here. And he said, she's up there. You brought her upstairs by yourself? And she said, yes, okay? So the next day, my doctor comes, and he's looking at me. And he said, Lenny, you've had a stroke. He ordered all these tests, brain scan, x-rays, CAT scan, MRI. And when the results came back, they were all negative. And he said, I don't understand that. I don't understand why your tests are. It's clearly you can see that you've had a stroke. It was obvious. So I couldn't hold my head up. I couldn't move my limbs. I couldn't talk. I understood everything that was being said to me, but the only person who understood me was my dear mother. She had me try to hold up one finger for yes, two fingers for no. And that's how I would communicate sometimes, especially when they asked me questions. Oscar Lane and my pastor at the time, Pastor William Hall, came to my house the next day and anointed me again from head to toe and from toe to head. And I'll never forget the words that Oscar Lane said to me. He said, no matter what this looks like, because I know what this is. No matter what this looks like, he knew I would be recovering. And for me to hold on to my faith and belief that Jesus would bring me through. And that's what I held on to. I must tell you, it became a dark place for me, not being able to talk properly. Face twisted, losing all my bodily functions, can't sit up, can't walk, can't take care of my children, and surely can't work. I had to get on disability. My mother came to my house every day. She massaged me every day, and it hurt. But she didn't stop. She kept telling me, Lenny, you are not going to stay like this. You have to fight, push yourself. Through much prayers from my mother and others, I was able to lift up my head, and my mother started sitting me on the side of the bed, dangling my feet to a standing position with a walker. When I could hardly control anything, finally I was able to receive physical therapy at the hospital in the physical therapy department where I worked. The brace that they made for me helped a lot. It kept my foot from slinging. Each day, I was progressing, trying to push myself to do better. This was a very hard and hurtful time for me. But what hurt me the most was when I was able to go to church. I don't know what people were thinking, But I was called names like Crip and Hopalong. While I was struggling to walk, that hurt me. But it didn't hurt me more than the hurt I felt for them, because I knew that each one of them were going to have a hard time, because usually when you do things like that to people, for some reason things come back on you. And I didn't want that. I was praying for these people. My daughter, one morning, we were trying to get up the steps, and my daughter's on the side of me. And one of the sisters came out and said, "Well, there's Hopalong. Happy Sabbath." And I will never forget the look on my poor little girl's face. She looked up at me, and then the sister went on into the sanctuary. And she said, "Mommy, that was mean. Why are they saying things to you? That was so mean, Mommy." He said, "Mama, we're going to pray for her." And I said, "Yes, we are. We are." And I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't say a word. Don't say nothing." Because when they would say things like that, I wouldn't say a word. One sister was walking behind me one Sabbath, and she said, "Hey, Crip." I didn't say a word. I kept right on walking straight, slinging my foot, walking straight. She said, "Did you hear me, Sister Lenny?" I kept on going straight. I said, "Loud and clear." And I kept on walking straight because I could still hardly get my words out. Well, I went from a wheelchair to a walker and then a cane. Finally, I was done with that cane and able to walk on my own. But the paralysis in my left foot and ankle caused me to still drag my foot, especially when I was tired. One Sabbath while at church, I was getting up to go downstairs, and I just got up, not even remembering to grab my cane, and went downstairs. And it wasn't until I was coming back up when I realized, I didn't have my cane, and that was the last day I had the cane. I didn't use it anymore. I was now able to walk on my own and still dragging my foot. After intensive physical therapy, I started walking normal in about a year and a half without any support, but still dragging my foot. Even though my case was a little different, to prevent a stroke, I know, among other things, such as the live-free lifestyle, that's the most preventable. But I do know you can do supplements like with folic acid, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12.
Mm-hmm.
It lowers your risk of stroke and a heart attack. Thank Amen. You for listening to my testimony this morning. Trust me, I have a many. My life has been sickness, disease, trials, and tribulations. But God brought me through them all. Thank you so much. May we hold on to the live-free lifestyle and do it, because it's going to prevent us from sickness and disease. Have a happy day today. God bless you.
Well, all I can say, brothers and sisters, as it relates to testimonies, we're going to call her Lenny with many. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's a good thing to be called when it comes to testimonies. Amen.
Yes.
You know, God's people who claim to be God's people, they can be very cruel, very, we just need to be converted. That's what it is. A lot of people who go to church aren't converted, my friend. Let something bad happen to you and they'll be like Job's friends. They were just a discouragement to Job. But let us hold on to our faith. What a powerful testimony. Amen. Amen. Well, I can tell you, all I know is it was after that time that I saw Sister Lenny. Remember, my testimony was I came after she left with the cancer, and sometime later we ended up going to her church, and I was looking for her. I said, "Where's Sister Lenny?" I saw this woman running up some stairs. They said, "That's Lenny right there." I said, "What?" And so I didn't even know about the stroke. So it was probably a few years after that we actually came to the church. So, or sometime after, because I was up there a good 2+ years. All right, friends, God is good. We are going to go to the phone line. Before we do, we're going to, and we have a sister from Iowa, Sister Leilani is on. And We have representation from the island of Bermuda. We have representation from North Carolina. We also have representation from Ohio, from Georgia, from South Carolina, from Iowa, from Ohio again, and we have Delaware and Maryland with Sister David. I like to call her name, let her know I see her. Praise God for you, Sister David. We have Indiana on the line, and we also have, we're here in Pennsylvania. On the call, I know we have one person watching whose location I'm not aware of, and then we have Virginia on the line as well. And I did mention North Carolina. North Carolina is not represented. I was mistaken. All right. God bless you. It's time to open up these lines, and if anyone on Facebook has a comment or question, I'm going to keep Sister Lenny on the line just in case anybody has any comments for her. We're going to take Sister Leilani at this time. If there's anyone else, just press *6. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I just want to thank you, Sister Lenny, for this wonderful testimony. And I am suffering from the after effects of a mini stroke. And so many things are changing in my life. And I'm just impressed by God that I need to learn to listen and think before I speak, because it's just such an unusual thing that comes on me when especially if I'm stressed or tired, then I just can't seem to find the right word. And I just thank you so much for this testimony, and I am going to. I would love to have that combination of vitamins and that you took to help the brain. If you could text or email me those suggestions.
Okay.
And it's just given me so much faith and courage to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you, Sister Lenny.
Amen. And Sister Lenny, why don't you go ahead and say them, and then you maybe can text them to me, and I'll get them to her, and we'll move forward that way.
Okay. It was the Live Free Lifestyle, folic acid, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12.
All right. B6, B12, and folic acid. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll send those to you, Sister Leilani. All right. We're going to go to Sister Winston at this time. And we've got Sister Winston on the call. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor, and everyone on the line. I just want to say that I thank God for the beautiful testimony that Sister Lenny has given. Because, you know, no matter what, God, what we do, we are supposed to do things to help our body. But in the end, it is God that gives the healing, you know. And I was so blessed by her testimony, because I pray every day that God would increase my faith and that he will help my unbelief. And I do things to eat healthy and everything, sunshine and things like that. But, you know, I always say it is God that gives the healing. And I just praise the Lord. But I would just ask Sister Lenny if she minds if I have her phone, telephone number.
Absolutely.
And if she would mind if I would speak with her sometime.
Sure. This is my number. Area code 302.
302.
Mm-hmm.
588-0102. 0102.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And
you're
everyone
welcome.
On the line, have a blessed day, because God is good and his mercy endures forever. But, you know, we're coming in for a time of trouble like we have never seen before. And the thing that that's going to be difficult for us is because, like you said, the people in the church are so cruel. You know, I was listening to an Adventist pastor who was talking about how Christians are the ones that persecute each other, you know. It was the Jewish church that persecuted the people. And he was going on to say that even when the pilgrims came over from Europe, you know, to America, because they were being persecuted, and when they got here, they persecuted the native people that was already here and did so many horrible things to them. And even, you know, like how we as blacks, you know, because we our original come from Africa, how they treated us. And these are supposed to be religious people. It is sad how we are supposed to be like Jesus. Jesus loves everyone, but we can be so cruel to one another. We're supposed to be his representatives. So I pray every day that God would help me to be like Jesus and that he would teach me how to be like him, you know. And I thank God because God, I know God brought Pastor Fleming and Sister Marie into my life to help me along the way until he calls me home. And I just praise him and thank him for all the blessings that I have received through your ministry, Pastor Fleming and Sister Marie. And I keep you all in prayer. And please keep me in prayer because, let me tell you, the family, the families can be so cruel. But I thank God that I've learned how to take whatever they do to me and leave it in the hands of God and keep on keeping on because I know I want to receive eternal life, but it depends on me and not on them. So keep me in prayer, and thank you again, Sister Lenny, for your number, and I will be calling you.
Okay.
Amen. And I imagine, Sister Lenny, you'll probably want a call from Sister Leilani. She may want your number too. So
she's welcome.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Well, is there anyone else that would like to share anything? Just please press *6. We've got about 9 minutes to the top of the hour. We have a good morning from our dear Sister Salita on Facebook. And I don't know, we have another sister on Facebook. If you may just type and tell us where you're from, we would love to know. And, you know, Sister Lenny, that was just a blessing to hear your testimony. And we really, really cannot look at our circumstances. I mean, if you had looked at your circumstances, you would have said, oh, they lied to me. You know, they said I was, you know, God lied to me, told me I was going to be healed. And then boom, you know, but through it all, we grow stronger. And our testimony is a blessing to someone else. You often find that those who have a special calling in this life, we've had to go through some troublous times, not always a sickness. Sometimes it's a family matter. Sometimes it's just something else that brings reproach. But yet, if we persevere, God has, it's light at the end of the tunnel. It's a blessing at the end. So, all right, there is no one else. I have the wonderful privilege of saying that my wife, Undreamed Of, can come on now and take us, close us out.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship and fellowship, and we just thank you for your spirit, Lord, being with us. And we ask that your spirit would continue to abide in our hearts today, leading, guiding, directing, and instructing us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, for we all want eternal life with you, and we want to be able to do our part and then able to receive that reward, that crown of life that you promised to give to your faithful servants. Yes, Lord, that you would be with our dear mother in Israel, Sister Mary Winston, that you would continue to bless her and her family. We thank you for her commitment to serving you, and we know that she's having challenges with her family members, and we just pray that you will please continue to give her strength and encouragement and wisdom in dealing with those issues, and that her family will appreciate just who she is and will respect her and will love her in a kind and loving way that they need to be able to do for her, especially during this time in her life. And we ask for her respect and support to be granted from each family member to this mother. And we pray that you will bless those that have silent petitions as we put them before you. We just ask that you will work out every single detail in accordance with perfect will. And we do pray for spiritual, mental, and physical healings to be granted to all. We pray for those that are in need of financial blessings. We ask that you will make sure that everything is supported and taken care of and everything is supplied, as you have promised that you would do, Lord. And we want to pray for the leaders of the church, because there are so many whose lights are being turned out. The lights are just going out, Lord. We can see the fall of the leadership of this church. And we know that we have to uphold your principles, uphold your word, and not to accept those things that the world is accepting. Help us not to fall into a state of apostasy, but help us, Lord, to be able to stand on the solid foundations of your word. And yes, the church will persecute its members. We see that happening. And we know that's only going to get worse as the true remnant of your people continue to be more and more surfaced as they come forward. And we know that those that are not faithful, that are not committed, and that are not your remnant will come up against us. So help us, Lord, to do all we can to stand firm, to stand true, and to stand for Jesus Christ, who is soon to come. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if you do our part of faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed up. God bless you.
Our closing song, Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will.